This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
She is widely considered one of the nation's leading experts on school bullying, peer abuse, peer pressure. Jody Blanco is with me. Her new book, her New York Times best-selling memoir is Please Stop Laughing at Me, One Woman's Inspirational Story. Jody's online at jodyblanco.com, and we're honored to have her with us. Jody, how are you?
Hi, Coy. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. So we want to talk about this whole idea of bullying, which is very much in the news, especially now that kids are getting ready to go back to school. And we can approach this from a number of angles, but I'd like to begin with the story that you tell in your book so very well, and that's your own story of being a kid that wasn't just bullied, maybe a year or two in school like I was in high school for being, you know, the fat kid in the gym class, but you really faced a lot of pressure and bullying from elementary school through high school.
Yeah, really, from fifth grade through high school, I was the kid that no one wanted to be caught dead hanging out with. And I was excluded and brutalized by my classmates for the same reason so many kids are today, simply for being different, for not wanting to follow the crowd. And what's really interesting is that I buried my past in a box in my brain. And then when Columbine happened, I became enraged because I said to myself, you know, America doesn't get it. What happened there had nothing to do with gun control. And that's when I decided to go public with my story and pen my memoir. I never expected that it would become an overnight New York Times bestseller. And when it did, thousands of kids started contacting me, telling me they were bullied and asking me to come to their schools and help. And so that's what I did. I left my business career, I packed a bag, and I started responding to those cries for help. And since then, I've been traveling the nation's schools, working with students, teachers, and parents to motivate change.
We're talking with author Jody Blanco. She's online at jodyblanco.com. Jody is JODEEblanco.com. The book is Please Stop Laughing at Me, and we'll give away a free copy here at the end of the interview. So before we leave your story, I'm just wondering, as you recount it in the book, it was particularly brutal. When did you realize, hey, something happened to me that was horrible and tragic, but I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm going to turn this around and use this to reach others.
Again, after Columbine, I was really angry about that whole situation. And when I wrote the memoir, I thought it'll take 6 months out of my life and then my life will go on. But when these kids started reaching out to me from all across America, hi, I'm Sophie. I'm in fifth grade and I found my grandfather's gun and I'm going to come to school and I'm going to shoot everybody who's making fun of me and then I'm going to shoot myself. And that was one of similar dozens of emails that I received. That's when I realized, oh my gosh, you know, I have to do this. This is my purpose and my calling. And I gave everything up in my life, literally, and I had a really, you know, thriving career. I gave everything up and I started touring the country schools. And it's really rewarding because I do a day-long program called It's Not Just Joking Around, where I go into a school, I do a student workshop in the morning that's very intense and emotional, and then I do a teacher workshop in the afternoon and a parent-family seminar at night. And I'll reach 30, 40,000 kids a school year. And these kids and even the adults in the school system, they pour their hearts out to me, and I try to emphasize compassion, and I try to emphasize reaching out and compassionate forms of discipline and the importance of friendship and that it's not just joking around, that bullying damages you for life. And I think I didn't choose the vocation. The vocation kind of chose me when I was born, I think.
The book is Please Stop Laughing at Me, a New York Times best-selling memoir. We're talking with author Jody Blanco, one of the nation's leading experts on bullying. And Jody, let me ask you this. Cultural conservatives today I've heard many poo-poo this whole issue as just political correctness and softy liberals that we need to realize that kids are kids and it's not always easy being a kid. But this whole issue of bullying and trying to stop bullying is a liberal feel-good issue.
Well, my first response to them is they're full of it. First of all, there's a difference between kids being kids and kids being cruel. And secondly, if they're going to label a nationwide movement to curb bullying in our schools as liberal claptrap, then I would advise them to read the headlines of the Boston Globe last year when 16-year-old Phoebe Prince committed suicide because a group of kids tormented her relentlessly, or the dozens of other bullying-related suicides that have happened in the last 8 months alone. There are too many of them to even fill a newspaper page. So while I understand that more conservative, more myopic-minded people might think that bullying is just a rite of passage, I can tell you as a former victim who cried herself to sleep every night from fifth grade through high school and who's held sobbing children in her arms and sobbing adult survivors who still aren't over what happened to them when they were kids, that it's a very real abuse and no less severe in its consequences than parental child abuse, domestic violence, or any of the other forms of abuses that we do take so seriously in this country.
We're talking with author Jody Blanco. Her best-selling memoir is Please Stop Laughing at Me. The website is jodyblanco.com. Greg is with us in Albemarle County. Greg, you're on with Jody Blanco. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jody, I really appreciate what you're doing. I think bullying, I'm 52 years old, and of course bullying went on when I was a kid in school. I think what's one of the things wrong now is this no-tolerance rule where kids are really not allowed to stand up for themselves, because either way, if they stand up for themselves, you know, and defend themselves, they're going to get in trouble. If they don't do anything, it'll continue on. And I remember, you know, it was a bad time when I was in school during the racial period, and there was a lot of bad things going on, and I remember being bullied. And finally, I had to just stand up and take the biggest kid out of about, and there was never just one, and just punch him smack in the nose and knock him down. And after two or three times of doing that, they left me alone. A lot of kids don't have the guts to do that, but the problem nowadays is that kid would be expelled as well as the bad kid. And I just think that the schools should allow kids to defend themselves. And I'm going to sign off and let you comment on that.
Greg, it's a great question and a good point. And Jody, before you respond, I have much the same similar story of standing up to the bully. I'll never forget the moment standing in the schoolyard, and I had a friend lean over to me and whisper in my ear. He said, you stand a better chance if you throw the first punch. And I did. And that kid never picked on me again.
Well, let me address this, first of all, in three parts. First of all, I absolutely agree with your caller that zero tolerance is zero effective. And the reason it is for exactly for the issues that you guys have brought to the fore. What happens is really sophisticated bullies know how to use zero tolerance policies to their advantage, because they know that no matter how much they pick on the victim, typically victims are good kids and they don't like to get in trouble, and they do what they're told. And they know that no matter how much they pick on this kid isn't going to defend himself because he doesn't want the blight on his school record. So I agree. But there's another kind of bullying that not even zero tolerance, whether you have it or not, really has an impact. You're talking about the kind of bullying where you've got the typical schoolyard bully who steals everybody's lunch money. And in reality, he's not really doing any long-term damage to anyone because he's picking on everyone indiscriminately. It's when you get a group of kids who I call the elite tormentors. These are the mean members of the popular crowd, the kind members of the popular crowd I call elite leaders. When you get in a group of elite tormentors who all the adults in the school think are wonderful, perfect teens, who no one suspects has a cruel streak. And when those kids single out another student who's different for whatever reason, and they make that child's life a subtle living nightmare, they let that child sit alone at lunch every day, they exclude that child over and over, they laugh when that child raises her hand in class to answer a question. That's the kind of bullying that really causes long-term psychic damage, because when that victim says to teachers, listen, this group of kids is really being mean to me, first of all, how do you punish a child for something they don't do? You know, if all someone does is not invite you to their table at lunch, how do you punish them for that? So it's the exclusion in our schools and the subtle forms of rejection that are even a more serious concern, because if I hit you, you can say to yourself, there's something wrong with Jody. But if all I ever do is ignore you, it'll start making you say to yourself, there's something wrong with me. And that's the biggest problem we have in our schools right now.
We're talking with best-selling author Jody Blanco. The book is Please Stop Laughing at Me, and we'll be giving away a copy here at the end of the interview. More than 500,000 students, teachers, and parents have participated in her acclaimed anti-bullying program, It's Not Just Joking Around. Jody, let me ask you about this. We have a local story here in Charlottesville that's just sort of emerging now, allegations of workplace bullying among adults. This really isn't just necessarily something that happens among young people.
No, and it's very interesting. Whenever I do these radio shows, I'm always shocked because you'd think you'd get a lot of phone calls from parents saying, my kid is being bullied, can you help me? But the overwhelming amount of callers that I get, and this is all across the country, are just like your callers. I call them adult survivors of peer abuse. These are adults who were bullied when they were kids, and it still affects them in some way. And many adult survivors of peer abuse end up becoming victims all of their lives because when they were young, adults gave them the bad advice to just ignore the bullies and walk away, and so that's what they do their whole lives. They ignore it when they're being oppressed or abused. That's why I tell parents, never tell a bully child to ignore the bullies. If someone is abusing you, standing up for yourself nonviolently in the moment abuse occurs is your human right, and I make sure that parents, kids, and teachers understand that nationwide wherever I go.
So what else works besides, as we all know, as I know from personal experience when I was, I think, 11 or 12, is standing up to a bully sometimes really does work. What else works?
Well, another thing that works is what I call interim social life, because you have to understand that the bully and the victim are bleeding. They're both driven by the same desire to fit in. And sometimes parents will become so wrapped up in dealing with the problem of the bullying, talking to the school, talking to the parents of the bullies, etc., that they forget they need to tend to their bleeding child first. And one of the most effective things you can do for a bully child is to get them an interim social life. Contact the local park district and the local library, the nearest next town over, that doesn't feed into your child's school district, and enroll your child in an activity for kids they'd enjoy, whether it's teen community theater or an art club or an author's club, so that your child can make new friends with new faces and have a social connection with their peers. This will buy you, the parent, the time you need to deal with the larger issues with the school. But again, if you have a bully child, or even just a child who feels invisible at school, your child needs a sincere and real connection with other kids their own age. And if they don't have that, they're at risk for some very dangerous behaviors.
We're talking with best-selling author Jody Blanco. The book is Please Stop Laughing at Me. Jody, address the whole issue of cyberbullying. This is bullying, next-generation bullying, which isn't face-to-face, but has become a really serious problem. As you point out, the young girl in the Boston area who committed suicide, and that was a direct result of cyberbullying, was it not?
Yes, well, among other forms of bullying, yes. Well, I think there's two things that are important to know about cyberbullying. Number one, when I was a kid 30 years ago and someone wanted to start a rumor about me, they could put it on a piece of notebook paper and pass it around math class, and that would be the end of it. Today, that same rumor could be posted on a Facebook wall for the whole world to see, uploaded via YouTube, emailed virally to thousands of people, or posted on 100 cell phones simultaneously. So bullying is no worse today than it was 30 years ago. What's different is that the weapons to achieve it have become more sophisticated and cut a wider and deeper swath. And what makes that so scary is that when I was a kid, when I got home from school, at least at home in my own room, I could escape the abuse. I couldn't escape the loneliness, but I could escape the abuse. Today, kids can't even escape that abuse at home. The minute they turn on their computers or answer their cell phones, they're assaulted with negative messages and abuse. So I think that cyberbullying is leading to more bullying-related suicides than in my generation because these kids have no break from the cruelty.
We're talking with author Jody Blanco. Jody, what do you think the parents that are listening, what are the big mistakes that parents make in these situations that folks should keep an eye out and steps to avoid here?
The worst mistake you can make as a parent is to tell your child to ignore the bullies and walk away. It's a mixed message. We tell our kids, don't be a bystander. If you see someone getting bullied, you stand up for that person, but then we'll turn around and say, oh, you're being bullied, just ignore it. It's a mixed message. It also doesn't work. If you ignore a group of the elite tormentors, those mean popular kids, they're not going to leave you alone. They're going to try that much harder to get your goat. And thirdly, what most parents don't understand, when they say to their child, leave them alone and they'll leave you alone, we don't want to be left alone. We want to be befriended. Most of the time, these kids who are picking on us, we secretly want their friendship and their acceptance. So when you tell us to leave them alone and they'll leave you alone, our first thought is you don't understand. And in most cases, grown-ups don't understand. And don't tell a kid who's being bullied they're just jealous. It isn't jealousy that causes bullying. That's typically a myth, and it's a cliche. And kids know when they're being told a cliche, and it doesn't work.
Let's go back to the phone. Susan is with us in Albemarle County. Susan, you're on with Jody Blanco. Go right ahead.
Hi. This is kind of a tangential issue, but regarding the cyberbullying, because I experienced a little of that myself this year as a way adult. I was president of our homeowners association, and there was an issue that sort of had different views in the neighborhood. The majority felt one way, and then there was a minority that felt the other way. And, of course, I was having to fight for the way the majority felt because that was my responsibility. And there were a couple of people that just were horrible on our neighborhood blog. And I maintained that they wouldn't have said those things face-to-face, but it was just so easy just to type that stuff in. And I had never even met these people. And that's really hard to deal with because it really was painful, and I didn't enjoy that experience at all. And I thought, you know, what did I do except try to do what I had said I was going to do? And again, it's just so easy on a computer screen to type this stuff, and you're not looking at the pain you're causing this person. So I would think that this is beyond just kids anymore. You know, and as you said, the whole world can read whatever gets written online somewhere. So,
Susan, thank you for the call, and it's an excellent point. Jody, how do adults handle these problems?
Well, I think the first thing that you have to realize, and that's a very good point that you bring out. Yes, cyberbullying is not just in school. Cyberbullying is the tool of the coward. Because you have a certain amount of anonymity, so you can be as mean as you want because you feel protected by your anonymity. And I think that what adults have to do, believe it or not, is what a lot of celebrities have to do when they read negative things about themselves in the tabloids, is just do your very best to ignore it. And I also tell people, if they are getting bullied on a blog like that, I think it's always best to make one strong statement on your behalf. And, you know, don't be sparse with the language. You know, give it 400 or 500 words, enough that you can make a statement. Not excuses, but a statement. This is my position. This is why I did what I did. The matter is now closed. So you get your voice out there, and you get the contents of your heart out there, and then you exit the scenario with dignity. But I don't believe that silence is golden. Because remember, cyberspace is really sort of a microcosm for the real world. If you were in a room with a group of people and they were hurling insults and saying things about you that weren't true, you would look at them and you would tell them your piece. You would speak your piece. Well, you should speak your piece on the blog as well, but then walk away with your dignity. Don't continue to engage. Speak your piece and exit.
Best-selling author Jody Blanco. She's online at jodyblanco.com, and the book is Please Stop Laughing at Me, One Woman's Inspirational Story. Jody, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, and if anyone wants to bring me into their school, jodyblanco.com. It's a very easy process to do so.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.